Good afternoon. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM, and thanks for tuning in today. It is a lovely summer day, and we're glad that you could tune in. This is episode number 130, and this is August 11th of 2015. And today's guest is Julia Christensen Hughes. I hope I have that correct.
Yes, you do.
And thanks so much for coming out today, Julia.
My pleasure.
And you had so much fun bringing us song titles. You thought it's going to have the theme.
Yes. Songs about food and wine.
Okay, so we've got them all lined up here. We're going to play them, and we'd like you to stay tuned. And the first song is going to be Jimmy Buffett, and it's, does that say it's Jimmy Buffett?
Yes, yeah, yes.
Jimmy Buffett and Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Correct.
When's the first time you heard that song?
Oh, years ago. I think that's the 70s.
Well, we'll play that tune. Just stay locked in, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Pat Gillison from the Bruce County Federation of Agriculture. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmers, producers, the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks for listening in, folks. It's the Agriculture Show. My guest today is Julia Christensen Hughes. Shall I just say Julia, I think?
That would be fine. Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
That's a great song. I had lunch already, but now I'm hungry again talking about cheeseburger and fries. We'll look forward to some more playing some of the other great songs you've suggested that we listen to. So today we're going to talk to Julia, and we're going to find out, as usual, a little bit about Julia. I was wondering maybe she's building a boat in the basement or something like that, but I'll let Julia tell us all about what she does, who she is, and where she lives.
Thank you, Jeff. So I grew up in Burlington, Ontario, and I didn't know much about farming or ag, but when I was in grade 8, I went on an urban-rural exchange, and I got to spend a week on a dairy farm. And I think that really whet my appetite for learning more about farming. And then when I went to university, I chose the University of Guelph. And I was enrolled in the Hotel and Food Administration program there. And when I graduated, I was a manager for the Keg Restaurants for a few years. And went on to study more. I did an MBA and a PhD. And when I started teaching at the university, teaching courses in human resource management, I became very interested in the human resource issues that a lot of my students were talking about. And many of them were from local farms, from the Waterloo region, including the Waterloo region. And they were speaking a lot about the vision of the farm, the challenges of running it, but even more importantly, their challenges with debt. And they were talking about their ideas for the farm business and what they could do to convince Dad that their ideas were worth listening to. So that really piqued my interest, and then I started doing research in the area, and I know you've got more questions for me, and I'll get to those down the road, but that's just a bit about my background. Yep. But I know you wanted a few personal comments as well.
Well, yeah, most of us are, busy working and got to pay our taxes, and we got to do this, we got family that. Just tell us a little about what else you're doing.
Yeah, so I have a wonderful partner. I have three amazing adult children. I have two granddaughters who were born this year. And I live on a beautiful 10-acre property just south of Guelph, and it is my retreat. It's my haven. So after a busy day at the university, there's nothing I love more than going home and looking at the fields and the trees.
A lot of people find comfort in that they go back to their house and even them have to mow the grass or something like that. It's just I'm home.
Yes.
That I'm a home feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good to hear. Are you an avid gardener and belong to the Horticultural Society too, and amongst all this?
Don't belong to the Horticultural Society, but I do love to garden. I love perennials, and I think there's something about working in the soil with your hands and seeing something beautiful grow, and that is often how I relax on the weekends.
If you have spare time, whatever that is, are you a concert goer or are you a curler?
I love to get exercise, so I like to play badminton, I like to swim, I like to run, so I find that, again, exercise, whether it's working in the garden or doing one of those other things, that's how I like to relax.
I'm interested to hear a little bit more about, you mentioned about the farm tour, what was it called? You went on a farm tour when you were a young person in Burlington?
It was called an urban-rural exchange, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So the idea was it was to try to connect the city kids and the rural kids. And so I went first, and that meant that I spent a week living on a dairy farm and doing all of the chores that my friend did. So we were,
Well, and they switched.
And then she came back to my house for a week.
Oh, not at the same time, but at...
Yes.
At the same time?
Yeah, so we spent
we
spent 2 weeks together.
On their farm?
A week on her farm, and then a week at my house in the city. And it was an initiative of the school board, I think, to try to help urban and rural communities understand each other more. Yeah. And it was wonderful.
A great thing. I do remember that, and I do. But the school board organized it. It makes sense.
I believe it was the school board. Yeah. It could have been the government. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's a ride. That's been the first time you've been on a farm, perhaps, on that exchange. Well, you knew there were farms in the area. You know, you're a city kid. But.
Yeah, no. I grew up going to farmers markets, and I just remember we would drive to the one in Waterdown, and a favorite thing was coming back with a basket of freshly picked peas or plums, or we would go often to pick your own fruit farms in North Burlington in the Campbellville area. So lots of fond memories of doing that, but I'd never actually stayed on a farm and been responsible for helping with the chores and those sorts of things. So it was a great opportunity.
I think they should do it again, because if you can remember that whole experience and thought so much of it, it's got to be a winner. It's too bad we couldn't do more of that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Time to revitalize maybe that tradition.
I think so. And, I bet these days with all of the interest in urban farming. Mm. And I know that some farm businesses have actually had success posting volunteer wanted signs and people wanting to come out and learn how to farm. And so the idea of including school-aged children in that, I think you're on to something.
I have had 4-H on this show, and our local calf club, I think there are 6 members or maybe a dozen, the point is, the majority of members are not actually from the farm. Mm-hmm. And farmers have allowed these young people to work with their lives, one of their heads of livestock, for purposes of the 4-H thing.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity. If you live in town and you got a kid who wants to know about agriculture, there's a 4-H club that can help you out where your young person can actually go to the farm and just see how that works out for them. You know, whether it may be just because you're not born on a farm doesn't mean you can't be one, and that's a great way to get in there. So 4-H is great. Go out there and find a club, and if you got a young person who wants to try raising a steer or something for 6 weeks or so.
Absolutely, and you're actually helping jog my memory, because when I spent that week on the farm, mm-hmm. there was a 4-H show. Oh. And that we went to, and there were all kinds of activities you could participate in, and one was you were to guess how tall the cow was. Well, when I stood beside the cow, my head went exactly to the top of its back.
Okay.
And so that was the answer I put in, and I won. So the kid from the city won the competition to guess how tall the cow was.
You were very creative to remember to make the correction there. Well, this is wonderful, Julie. We'll look forward to some more of our show here. We're going to play another song right about now. And another song you sent along was to Tom Waits, and the song is called Eggs and Sausage. Now, I don't know if I've heard, I'm sure I've heard this song, but you remember what this song was like? Where'd you first hear this song?
You know what? It's not the song as much as Tom Waits. I just think that he has such an interesting voice, and I think maybe a good radio voice, and such compelling life experiences, and there's something in his music that just has always intrigued me.
Okay. With that introduction, we'll play Tom Waits, come back and listen to the rest of our show. Folks, stay tuned. We'll see you in a short bit.
Nighthawks at the diner, Hammer's 49er. There's a rendezvous of strangers around a coffee urn at night. All the gypsy hacks and the insomniacs, now the paper's been read. Now the waitress said, eggs and sausage and a side of toast, coffee and a roll, hash browns are what easy, chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. What kind of pie? It's a graveyard charade, it's a late shift masquerade. And it's 2 for a quarter, dime for a dance. Woolworth rhinestone, diamond earrings, and a sideways glance. Now the register rings. Now the waitress sings. Eggs and sausage, cider toast, coffee and a roll, hash browns over easy, chili in a bowl, burgers and fries. What kind of pie? Section offers no direction. It's a cold caffeine in a nicotine cloud, as the touch of your fingers lingers burning in my memory. I pen 86 from your ski. Now I'm in a melodramatic nocturnal scene. Now I'm a refugee from a disconcerted affair. Not a lead pipe morning fall. Not a waitress call. Eggs and sausage. Now a side of toast. Coffee and roll. Hash browns or either chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. Now what kind of pie? Alamo, if you will. Just come in and join the crowd. Had some time to kill. See, I just come in to join the crowd. Had some time to kill. Just come in and join the crowd. Cause I had some time to kill.
Hi, this is Moses Bogart from Straight Out of the Pit Punk Rock Radio. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. If you like local, independent, and southwestern Ontario punk rock, then tune in to Straight Out of the Pit Punk Rock Radio, Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM.
That was a great song, Julie. What a great pick. You know, I'm looking at Tom Waits and something called Eggs and Sausage and never anticipated such a great song like that.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You liked that song before. That wasn't just a random pick, was it?
What a sound.
That's great. So you just got to hang in here at our radio show, folks. It's got great guests and great music. We couldn't get better than that for a Tuesday afternoon. So we've had our first segment talking to Julie about what she does. And she's busy working, and then likes to enjoy going home and putting around the garden and all those good things that happen to you when you work in the garden. A little bit about how she got interested in agriculture. So now I'd like to talk to Julie about a little bit more about what she does now. And it sort of implied you do work at the university there. So tell us about this, what you're doing now from at the university. If it's, maybe you're still doing some planting up there. I don't know, different kind of planting, I guess.
Exactly. Thanks, Jeff. So I've been on faculty at the University of Guelph for almost 30 years. And for the last 6 years, I've been dean of the College of Business and Economics. So this is home, essentially, to Guelph's business school. And in that role, one of the things that I was working actively with Rob Gordon, the dean of the Ontario Agriculture, on is really promoting the University of Guelph as Canada's food university and taking stock of all of the things the university does in the food space, and whether it's in crop science, animal science, food science, or programs that my college is responsible for. Again, the one that I graduated from many years ago, our program in hotel and food administration. We have a major in the commerce, Bachelor of Commerce program in that. But also we have an MBA in food and agribusiness management, as well as hospitality and tourism. Mm-hmm. And our faculty and students from across the college, we have almost 4,000 students in my college, about 3,500 at the undergraduate level in our commerce program, and then several hundred graduate students. Many of them are interested in what we refer to as the business of food. So whether they're studying accounting or marketing or real estate and housing, we have students who are interested in ag and food. And it is big business. And I know you mentioned Owen Roberts, colleague of mine at the university, and I applaud his efforts to help people understand just what a big business this is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are surprised to learn that food processing is actually Canada's largest manufacturing industry. I think a lot of people think automotive or something else, yeah. but it is big business. And the other stat I sometimes share to make that point is that Canadians spend more on food than any other category, and any other expenditure category next to shelter. So, and it is essential to this country's economic health. You know, you look at how much we export, how much we import, and it's food and ag that is keeping the dock in Hamilton busy, yeah, right? Now that the steel industry has, been in a slump for so long. So, food is big business, but it's also local business. And that's what I love about it, because food and ag is also about healthy rural communities. It's about healthy families. Mm. I mentioned the farmer's market. But there's something really exciting that I think has started absolutely taking hold in the last few years, and that's food and ag entrepreneurship. And we have so many students now that are interested in starting their own businesses in this space. And we've started incubating businesses as part of the business school. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much interest in local, right, and sort of a foodie culture. We're the only university in the country and perhaps in the world to have a food laureate. So we have Anita Stewart, who has done so much to champion local food or terroir, like the celebration, the connection of food and community and culture. We have our Biodiversity Institute at the university that's looking at food fraud, which is, you know, a growing concern in the world. People want to know where their food comes from, mm-hmm. and that they can trust it. I think food conjures up the image of the family sitting around the dining table and enjoying time together. Well, that food has to be good for us, right? So food nutrition and food safety. And the University of Guelph is doing research in all of those areas. And I'm just so proud to be associated with a university that understands the importance of food and ag in society, particularly given some of Evan Fraser's work, you know, looking at the challenge of feeding the world. Mm-hmm. And as he would say, it's not that the world doesn't have enough food, but it doesn't have access to that food. And is it the right food? And how much food do we waste? I have faculty that study that issue as well. And I think perhaps your listeners would be interested to know that about 30% of the food produced in this country is wasted. 20% in the home, and 10% in retail. And so as a society, and we begin to fully understand how essential food security is to building a healthy society, you know, looking at wastage and access and nutrition, I think they're going to become increasingly recognized mm-hmm. as essential issues. And so again, I'm just so proud to be part of a university that's preparing students to play leadership roles in all of this.
And a graduating from university, it means you're also a well-rounded, educated person. You would probably certainly have to take some sociology, psychology type courses. You know, it's not just the science of it, it's also just how do you apply it. So it's not unreasonable for a grad from the business program to know a little bit about media stuff and to know a little bit about the culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it must be a requirement of graduation to have a well-rounded...
Within our commerce program, we have a core that all of our students take, regardless of what major they're mm-hmm. in. We collaborate with the Ontario Agricultural College in offering a Bachelor of Commerce specialization in food and agribusiness. But you're right, there's the common requirements, and there's some expectation that students take courses across the university and then particular to the BCom, particular to their major, and then they have some elective choice as well. And, you know, we really encourage our students to choose their electives wisely. And we say, you know, build your own brand. graduate from the university with a unique story to tell about something you've achieved. And this is another passion of mine. My own research shows that you can only learn so much in a lecture. But have you had that opportunity to apply it to something real and to develop the skills? So you're talking about the ability to communicate effectively, to negotiate an understanding, to share what you've learned, or to solve a problem, participate in a project. And so within the business school, we have the opportunity for organizations that might be interested in having a team of students work on a project for them. Mm-hmm. Our students can earn academic credit for doing that. And so let's say you have a farm and they've got a new business going, perhaps sort of a culinary tourism kind of thing, come and experience the farm, or maybe there's farm gate sales. If somebody was interested in looking at how they can most effectively market themselves directly to the consumer, we have teams of students who could work on that.
Oh, that's interesting.
We also have students who can earn academic credit developing a business plan and launching the business. And as I mentioned earlier, we have so many students that are interested in developing new businesses in the food space, and there's a lot of them, but I'll just share two. One is Revel Cider, and I don't know if you've heard of that one, but most ciders are made with imported apple concentrate. So this is a cider made entirely of Ontario-grown apples.
Okay.
So it's really caught on. We've got craft beer now, and now local cider. It's being sold in a lot of restaurants in the Guelph area that are really committed to concepts of local, Borealis being one of them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's a Borealis in Waterloo as well. Yes. So I love to see that connection. I'm using that as an example of our students earning academic credit, getting support, realizing their dreams, and benefiting the whole community, because now the community has a local cider to consume at a restaurant. But there's also now an opportunity for apple producers to sell their apples into the food supply chain. So these are the kinds of things that we're working on. Another is a custom tea company. I could go on, but I'm so excited to see our students get excited about both business and food.
Yeah, and nowadays it's all about media as well. You know, there's tools out there that haven't been around only in the last 10 years, Facebook, Twitter, so much social media. I would think that would be a big important part of any kind of business approach to...
Absolutely, and I find that people who own businesses or managers within local businesses are so delighted to have our students work on that kind of a plan for them and show them how they can, embrace social media or a more effective website, whatever their particular need might be.
Yeah. There's a Guelph program that's come to mind. It's called Spark, which is students.
Yes.
Is that under your jurisdiction as well? Or
no, Spark is a wonderful program. It's administered centrally at the university.
Yeah, we should tell listeners what that is again. It's students writing about agriculture. Am I paraphrasing?
Yeah, so students are writing about research that really makes an impact. Right. So, communities and governments that are experiencing economic challenges, there's all kinds of questions about how that money is best spent, and a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their head around the research that universities and faculty are engaged with, particularly if they can't see the results right away. And so it's really important as a university that our message is out there in the community so people can understand why some discovery-based research, for example, it's going to be years before society necessarily, sees that positive impact. Other research, the results is much more immediate. But what a fabulous opportunity for our students who are involved with the Spark program to have an opportunity to interview the faculty who are working on these projects in really accessible language, talk about what the research is all about, and the positive benefit for society.
So much to cover, huh? Goodness gracious, it's a lot.
Yes.
Would you like to be an undergrad again?
Do you know what? I would love to be an undergrad in my program because I think that universities used to be so, so highly prescriptive.
Yes.
And, once you were in a program, it was all laid out. This is how it should go. And now there is so much choice, and that's something we've deliberately embedded, mm-hmm. Within the program, recognizing that people have different interests. But with this opportunity to solve problems and get excited, right, about the contribution they can make in the world. And last year, this was just, a year before the devastating earthquakes in Nepal, I had an opportunity to visit there and to go on a trek. And what we were looking at was how tourism was making such a difference in the lives of the Sherpas and their families, mm-hmm. and they were turning their own homes into guest houses and into restaurants so that the Sherpas would have an alternative to climbing Everest if they felt that it wasn't safe. And it was during that experience that I really came to understand, like no other time, that it is business with integrity. I always add that caveat. It is business that allows families and communities to be self-determining, to have options. And I'm so excited that we're providing a business program that allows our students the opportunity to learn what they need to learn to lead those kinds of lives.
There you go, folks. The course is so good that the person in charge of it would go back and be an undergrad herself. And that was the choice. Thanks for saying all that, Julie. Well, listen, Julia, we'll play another song here. It's time. You get another one here. It's done by the Beatles, called Savoy Truffle. And I can't quite remember what that song is about, but how'd you go about picking that one? I know we have a food theme to play your stuff here, but...
Well, who doesn't love the Beatles?
True. Very
right?
True.
And I was looking at what songs they had produced that had something about food in it. And this is another fun one. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right. We're going to play it. And thanks for listening in today. It's episode 130 of the Agriculture Show. We're here at 108 King Street North, right in the heart of downtown Waterloo. And from time to time we hear the roared traffic and the street life out past our studio windows here. So just stay locked in. We shall be right back.
Just, you know it's good news.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for listening in today, folks. It's the Agriculture Show, and that was the Beatles and Savoy Shuffle with a horn section. I'm quite pretty impressed with that. Then don't often associate the Beatles with the horn section. Good choice, Julia. That's great.
Wonderful.
I know. We've been having a great time so far, folks, and we got more to come. I'm going to do the promo. I lost track of my own thinking here.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hello, I'm Julia Christensen Hughes, Dean of the College of Business and Economics at the University of Guelph. You are listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thank you for doing that. I got ahead of myself. You know, I can't multitask, and I had in the back of my mind, to get the tweet out there to people, and you're doing that, and then the next thing you know, I started yapping when I was wanting to do that promo. it's just it's a surprise every minute. So just to catch up, folks, Julia Christensen Hughes is my guest today, and she's the dean at the College of Business and Economics at the University of Guelph. So we got a little bit to know about Julia in the first segment and her first experience with agriculture. She remembers an urban farm exchange program, and her interest in agriculture ended up with her MBA and the ability to be a dean at the college. And so much going on at the University of Guelph. I don't know where to start. You know, we think of the kind of training that it required. You had to have a full. How'd you say? You had to choose your electives wisely.
Yes.
And so that you do have an interesting and marketable perspective, unique on a general business topic of some sort.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you say 4,000 students at
in the College of Business and Economics. Yes, the University of Guelph, and I know you said you graduated from there yourself. You might be surprised to know we have over 22,000 students there now at the university, and the College of Business and Economics is one of 7 colleges, and yes, with about 4,000 within the business programs.
So it's a great place, folks. There's open houses and lots of alma maters and graduates coming out of there. So feel free to consider that. And Guelph often ranks quite highly in the for what it's worth, the McLean's survey yearly. I think they
absolutely
do. Yeah, Guelph's usually pretty well up there.
Yes, it is, and other international rankings as well. The Ontario Veterinary College, the Ontario Agricultural College, you know, particularly well known. The College of Business and Economics is just 10 years old, even though we've been offering business programs at the university for almost 50 years. But the college itself, bringing together all of Guelph's business programs under one umbrella, is quite new. But I would say in that short space of time, we've done a lot to increase awareness about the programs. And I think there's two things that we're really well known for, and one is that students can choose their major within the Commerce program directly. So for a student who's really interested in studying food and agribusiness, they would go directly into that program, which is very unique in comparison to other business schools. The second point is that I suppose it's our vision and our pillars combined. So the vision of the business school is to develop leaders for a sustainable world. So we put a lot of focus on leadership and integrity and a global perspective. And again, I'll bring it back to food and ag. I mean, the global supply chain is so complex, right? And it's so important for people to understand, even if their business interest is just one slice of that, to understand, you know, how it all fits together. So that's our vision. Our pillars are transformational learning. So that gets back to what I was talking about earlier about, yes, you need time, you know, sitting in class and reading and listening and thinking, but you need that application to really transform who you are as a person. You know, what your life goals become, your confidence in your own abilities, your skill set. So that's the first pillar, transformational learning. Second is research that counts. So I talked about that as well, right? About we feel really strongly about our obligation to demonstrate how the research that we're doing is making a positive difference in the world. And then the third one that I haven't talked so much about is community engagement.
Okay.
And there we're really challenging the notion of the ivory tower and talking about forming authentic partnerships or relationships with organizations and individuals within the community. I gave the example of companies or farm businesses that might want a team of students working on a project. But we work with all kinds of organizations. We've worked with Pepsi, we've worked with Longo's, Pillitteri Wines most recently, Esca Waters. And what we do with these kinds of food and ag organizations is that we embed a case study in an entire course. So we work with that organization to identify an issue that they're struggling with, and then we tie a whole course around it. And so the students and teams are analyzing the issue and then making their recommendations back to representatives from the company at the end of the course. Okay. So in our MBA, for example, we had a team of students that were looking at a challenge that Pillitteri Wines has had selling ice wine into Asia, and that's food fraud. So ice wine that their competitors are selling that isn't necessarily pure ice wine. At the undergraduate level, we had an international marketing course where students were studying opportunities for Esca Waters to grow their exports into Asia. And the winning team actually got to accompany executives from Esca Waters to China this spring. So those are opportunities of community engagement. And we always say it is by getting those relationships right that everything else will happen.
It sounds like a great course. There's lots of things that you can look in that. And, you know, what should the public know about agriculture? You're very well that you would comes to mind. You know, read the paper or pause for your food. What should the public know about agriculture? I hate to ask you such a tough question,
yeah.
But you get what I'm getting at. At the end of the day, we have IST listeners, urban listeners, who are maybe overwhelmed with the agricultural information, misinformation, whatever might be out there. What would you tell people about agriculture?
Oh, so many things. I know. Just going to try and boil this down. Some I've already mentioned, and maybe I'll just reemphasize. I don't think people understand how important food and agribusiness is to the health of this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. So many people are employed in it. So many families depend on a healthy economic environment in which farms and ag businesses can thrive. So from a policy point of view, you know, I think we need to help government really understand that to make sure we have that environment. I suppose another point, and this is really what Anita Stewart has been championing, is that food should absolutely be cherished and celebrated. It's just such an important part of our culture and our heritage.
We could do a whole show on that, couldn't you?
Absolutely.
You know, about the meaning of food. It's convenience and fast and just fuel. But they didn't invent the British tea ceremony for nothing. It
exactly.
had a very strong social component.
Yes. Yeah, so in my family growing up, you know, sitting around the dinner table was always such an important time for breaking bread together, talking about the day, and also meals made from scratch. I grew up with that as well. And so that was something that my own children experienced. And I think that those values are really important, and that's why one of the many reasons I applaud the work of Anita Stewart, who's really, I think, brought so much positive attention to the role of the farm gate, farmers markets, restaurants that are sourcing their products locally, and being fun and adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
Even looking at foraging, for example, that really is becoming increasingly popular now, like just understanding the food that was here before we were, and the palate, I think, is becoming so much more sophisticated. So I think, I would say that that's another really, really important piece of this.
So agriculture gets in the news quite a bit lately, and more than ever has been before. And there's something to do with that. There's hardly anybody connected with agriculture, like up to now, people kind of knew somebody from the farm, or they actually had a connection to a farm. I think that's part of something that changed nowadays, where people don't have the experience or reasoning abilities to look at some of these headlines and seeing what's going on. So, the classic is this whole neo-nics right now, legislation.
Yes.
Well-intentioned. And without debating the science, which is for other experts, but what is that phenomenon? How is it that, albeit normal agricultural dilemma, is all of a sudden, like, as if it was invented all of a sudden? How did this gap happen? Have we lost a social license as agriculture? Or what's happened?
I just think these issues are so complex, and I'm not the right person to speak to this science either. And maybe I'll come back to bees and honey, because Guelph, of course, is doing a lot of good things space as well. But I'll share another real, like, highly controversial issue, and that's the ethical treatment of animals.
That's a good
right?
one.
And Tim Hortons came to the University of Guelph with a question. They'd been getting some feedback from some of their shareholders saying they were concerned about the bad press, right, about the treatment of some of the animals, chickens and hogs, that ended up, you know, in the supply chain being served in their restaurants, and shareholders questioning the company, you know, have these animals being, were they treated ethically? And Tim's was wonderful. They came to the university with some money, and with that money, the college was able to organize a symposium, and I have to say, it was just one of the most interesting symposiums that I'd been to, because it brought together all the stakeholders, right? There were farmers there. There were animal rights folks. There were fast food chains. But what made this unique is that the science got to the table, right? And so we had really thoughtful debates. It went beyond the soundbite, and we found some common ground, and the way that issue was explored, I just thought was just such an excellent example of people grappling deeply with the issue. And I think you were saying earlier, have you tweeted yet? You know, and I think within our sort of this world we live in now, you know, with the soundbite or the tweet, I think sometimes we don't unpack the issue deeply enough, right, to really understand all those perspectives and see if we can't come up with something that is evidence-based and that supports the various stakeholders. And in this case, people were really surprised to hear about some of the science that showed, for example, that farrowing crates can be considered much more humane than what might be perceived as that sort of pastoral picture where hogs are running free in a pen. And when you really understand the animal behavior, you know, in those kinds of settings, and looking at mortality rate of the piglets, for example. And so, I think universities must be that pillar of evidence, right? And that's why the research is so critical. Now, I'll come back to bees and honey. And again, I'm very proud of Guelph's honeybee program that is doing excellent research in this area, but I was so intrigued to have the opportunity to meet the vice president marketing for Burke's Jewelers, who has really got on board with this issue. They created a line of jewelry that's all about bees and honeycombs, and a percentage of those jewelry sales now is helping fund the university's research center.
What a good idea.
Yeah, and in fact, their rooftop of the Burke's head office in Montreal, they've now turned into an aviary and an herb garden, and, you know, there's bees and honeys, and I'm so intrigued by this notion of urban farming. And, you know, how can corporations get involved with this? And, you know, what is the best use of our rooftops, for example? And I think it's those kinds of partnerships and the collaborations, the evidence-based approach, that I think is going to help us you know, make the best decisions down the road.
And what a great example. I know as the host of the agriculture show, I wish I had that recording of that symposium on animal ethical treatment animals in my library. Is that online anywhere by chance? Probably not.
No, it wasn't.
It's a great resource.
It wasn't recorded, but I know the people who participated went away with a lot to think about and some really sort of concrete ideas for what they could do within their own organizations.
I had the pleasure of having a gentleman on here from the local PETA group, though I'm not sure if they call themselves that. And you know, he says he pointed out that it was probably when Walt Disney came along and put big eyes on animals that people's attitude towards animals changed. They personified beings that were just thought of as they were a brick or they were a thing.
Right.
And so our awareness, our thoughts of it, evolved along that line, and as people have less and less experience with animals, it made sense. Mm-hmm. You know, in town here, they're suggesting bringing back, allowing people to have backyard chickens.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
Isn't that great?
That's a great idea, because people get to see the life cycle of a chicken. They get the egg. They understand they're looking after a creature. It's a win-win, I think. But
or attempting it. They learn that it's harder than it looks.
That's right.
That they should be happy, you know, to go to St. Jacob's on a Saturday morning and buy their farm fresh eggs. So, I think I think that this opportunity for education, right, is a great opportunity. And I was going to say the Royal Winter Fair is also such a great opportunity for that. And I know that, you know, some of the displays that are up, again, trying to dispel these myths about the ethical treatment of chickens and hogs that are, you know, in the food supply chain. And certainly Egg Farmers of Ontario is another group that's been working hard, and Burnbury Farms to help educate the consumer.
Yes, you know, in the scheme of things in Ontario, Julia, you're unique because a majority of Ontarians, I understand, I have never even met a farmer or not even aware of agricultural stuff, but you are, right?
Well,
I'll put it the other way around. What if you were at the University of Toronto and you're teaching something down there? The odds of you having any connection with farming is getting to be about, like, minuscule.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that's out beyond 905 somewhere. I don't know what that is.
And again, it was the ag students at the University of Guelph who were in my human resource management course and started writing papers on their family farms, the decision-making dynamic, expressing some frustration with, you know, the lack of opportunity they had to help the family business innovate. I learned so much from them as they expressed those issues and then started to do research in the area myself. And shortly after that, I teamed up with Larry Martin, who was the former chair of the ag department at the university. And Larry and I have actually been collaborating on a number of programs where I teach the leadership and the human resource component to farmers and farm families, as well as those in food production through, it was the George Moore Center, now it's the Agri-Food Training organization that Larry heads. But yeah, I've been really passionate about helping this industry continue to innovate and be successful.
There's lots of, we have to come back. We'll bring in someone talking about, we're going to want some of your sociology folks talk a little bit about where food and how it ties in with modern agriculture, that we're sort of missing that holistic or that, we'd be thankful for our food. Sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. we have historians who study the history of food and how the trade routes really, you know, opened up the world to travel, and people looking at the politics of food and art associated with food. So really, at the University of Guelph, we cover this space from all angles.
And we're going to cover it really good with our next song. It's Stompin' Tom with Bud the Spud.
Excellent.
Who hasn't heard of Bud the Spud? That's a great song. Okay. Just stay locked in, folks. We'll be back talking to Julia about food and agriculture in the University of Guelph. We're going to listen to Bud the Spud by Stompin' Tom. We'll be right back.
It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down a highway smiling. The spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now from Charlottetown or from Summerside, they load him down for the big long ride. He jumps in the cab and he's off with the brides of Biggles. He's got to catch the boat to make Fermentine. Then he hits up that old New Brunswick line. To Montreal he comes just a-flying with another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now the Ontario Provincial Police don't think much of Bud. Yeah, the cops have been looking for the son of a gun that's been ripping the tire off the 401. They know the name on the truck shines up in the sun, Green Gables. But he hits Toronto and it's 7 o'clock when he backs her up again the terminal dock. And the boys gather round just to hear him talk about another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now I know a lot of people from east to west that like the Spuds from the island best, cause they'll stand up to the hardest test right on the table. So when you see that big trucker rolling by, wave your hand or kind of wink your eye, cause that's Bud the Spud from old PEI with another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling, because he's got another big load of the best doggone potatoes that's ever been growed. And they're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island.
This is Neil Curry from the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks for listening today, folks. My guest is Julia Christensen-Hughes, and we're now in the fourth segment of our show, which is a little bit about things we didn't came up in conversation, which were, there was many, and kind of a wrap-up of what we had talked about before. So here we go. And Julia was born and raised in Burlington and went to a school kids exchange with another young person and lived in the farm for a week, and then brought that young person back to her place in Burlington for a week, and then for a while worked at the Keg restaurant as a manager, and now I'm in academia, and raised a family, and has a nice place she calls home, where she can put her feet in her, well, probably put your feet in the mud too, not just and so many stories about the University of Guelph. Things have changed so much. But I really did enjoy your comment where you said, if you had a chance, you'd go back and be an undergrad again, because you thought there was so much more opportunity nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's an urban-rural interface here about what do people need to know about agriculture, and Julie has so many interesting and valid perspectives on it. You've had the opportunity to have some really great speakers and workshops about the ethical treatment of animals, and about the bees. How do we in look after pollinators? And the well-intentioned people have all kinds of needs, and it's just a matter of figuring out how to do it so nobody's disadvantaged by the overall plan things.
Well, absolutely. I think everybody gets frustrated when they see government policy that's not based on the facts, right, or the evidence, or when it's politically correct but isn't actually supported by the science. And so, as I was saying, I think this is such a critical role for the university to play, that it can help bring the different constituents together and then look at, you know, what do we know for sure about this issue and hopefully have some influence on policy.
Hmm. It takes a long time sometimes, but hopefully, I think we're making progress.
I hope so. I think we are in some areas, but I think that given just, again, the size of this industry, its importance for the economy, I suspect it's going to get increasing attention down the road, and in fact, that's a, you know, commitment the Premier has made, but we still have to see whether that attention is ultimately going to be positive or not.
Hmm. Well, agriculture has gotten a lot more attention lately than it has for many, many years. And the only good news in that is that, for now we can talk about all the things that are good about it. Up to now, we could have told people, well, all farmers and agriculture is great. And they would say, well, what's the latest BlackBerry or what's the latest mining stock? But now, although, you try to make good news out of what starts out as a questioning, defensive type knee-jerk situation where people are saying, and only because they probably don't know anything about farming anymore.
Mm-hmm.
you go to a farmer's market, then I'm glad people are doing that. That's probably your best way to talk to farmers.
Absolutely, and I would also add the culinary tourism.
So you
look at the farms that I had the opportunity to do a case study with Tom Chudley a number of years ago, and looking at what they had done on their operation, with further food production, sales of turkey pies and apple blossoms, and the experience of, running through the maize or climbing on the hay bales. And I think we've got some of that in this region. Again, certainly St. Jacobs providing a wonderful opportunity, but then just, go down to Niagara and the number of wineries that now also have bed and breakfasts or, will rent some space for weddings. And it's these things where farmers are finding, other potential sources of revenue if it works. It doesn't work in every operation, but where it does, that brings more people into that space, and then I think that it'll be more cherished. People will understand the importance of it. And I would say that farmland and development issues, this is an important area that I think is going to be catching more headlines in the near future.
Well, I think so. Even the investment community is investing in buying farmland, typically out of the West, but even around Ontario, it could be a pretty scarce commodity someday soon.
Mm-hmm.
On our show, too, we like to talk about young people. How do we get them into business? And, boy, you're a classic, or get interested, or how they satisfy the curiosity if you live in town.
Yeah.
Boy, we covered a couple topics there, Julia. We talked about your own, starting out with the Urban Rural Exchange thing, and talked about the 4-H has kids from town. You can go to a farmer's market, or if you get a farm tour, those are always good.
Absolutely.
Culinary, and I suppose the wine growers and so on are kind of in that thing. I mean, they got it. They're obviously farmers. I got a friend of mine that he's involved with the farm show down in Woodstock, and he said, if you got a kid that doesn't know what they want to do at high school, take them down to our farm show for a day, and you see some of the latest technology. If that doesn't get a young person interested in something, these are all pretty good ways to get people involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people don't understand, if you look at the whole food supply chain, all the different business opportunities that exist along it. And of course, primary production, being one of those areas, but there's so many other interesting jobs as well. And you mentioned this when we were chatting earlier before the show started, but the number of jobs that are available for students with this kind of background. And I think for parents who are wondering, if they're child goes to a college or university, and are they going to have a job when they graduate? And certainly there's a big demand for students who have studied food and agriculture.
So don't be afraid to go to the University of Guelph, check out College Royal, talk to graduates, go to trade shows, go to farmers markets. If you are interested in agriculture or know someone who would be, that's a good start, I think. I go knock on the door and talk to a farmer and say, what's up, bud?
And if you try raising your own chickens, ask for help.
That's the chickens is a good one. Yeah. So that's good stuff. That's wonderful. Let's play this last song before we sign off here yet, Julia. Now, I did manage to get blackberry wine put up by Gordon Lightfoot, but not this one, 30,000 pounds of bananas.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I'd prefer the Lightfoot one over Harry Chapin.
Okay. So this is Gordon Lightfoot, and this song is Blackberry Wine. We'll be right back to finish off our show with Julia. We'll see you in a short bit.
This is Mel. I'm from Mel's Prime Beef. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmers with the needs of society.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed tuning in today, folks. We've had a lot of fun here with Julia, I'm just so glad you're able to make it out today. I have a question for you. Is cow tipping fact or fiction? And there's a little booklet on the side there. See that book that says it's Real Dirt on Farming in the bottom compartment? The answer is in there.
Well, I would say yes.
Well, I know some people who, in fact, claim that it is possible to do that.
I think some of our students might have discovered it's possible.
I think they probably did that in a drunken haze, and they didn't know what they were doing. They were probably trying to lift up the old cannon in the front of the student building.
Exactly.
There. Oh, dear. But thanks so much for coming out today, Julia. On behalf of the University of Guelph and the Dean of the College of Business and Economics, which you are the dean, And really appreciate you taking time out from busy schedule. Help us get that message out there to our urban listeners about agriculture. Couldn't have been a better spokesperson. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been my pleasure.
Fun songs, too.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed them.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week. It's episode 130 this week, 131 next week. Stay tuned in 6 days and 22 hours. And if you eat this week, thank a farmer. We'll talk to you later. See you in a bit.